Got a test. Who was the woman?
Israel.
And who was the dragon?
Satan.
And who was the man child? Jesus. And what happened? What happened whenever Michael got in the picture? Who was he anyway? What? Okay, but what did he do? We learned it this morning. What happened?
Fought against the dragon.
Okay. Well, that's a good start. That's four of the personalities that we want to learn about, because unless we have those tied together, along with the two we're going to look at tonight here in verse 13, the rest of Revelation won't mean much to you. You have to learn that. If you wasn't with us this morning, let's think about chapters 6 through 11 being the sketch of what's going to happen. And let's think about chapters 7 through 19 being filling in all of the blanks and making sense of things, putting the personalities together with the events that have already been looked at in general. And we get more specific as we continue through Revelation. But without knowing who these personalities are, it would be very difficult to understand what's really transpiring in the last half of the tribulation period. So, verse 13. Who's writing this? Who? John. And do you know John? Have you met him before? He was one of the disciples. Okay. John was What else do you know about John? He was what? Yes. Maybe. Well, she's going to get some brownie points after she dozed this morning on me. So she's going to earn something back. Okay, what else do we know about John? Anything? Well, he was certainly the one that was noted at the base of the cross, and Jesus cried out to him on the cross, "Behold my thy mother," right? "Take care of my mother," and meaning Mary. We know that the beginning of Revelation, John then was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. What's exile mean, somebody? Okay, I'll take part of that. That's where he was, yes, put to. That's where he was. That's where he was exiled to. And he was put on that island by himself as punishment for being an apostle. Yeah. Yep, I'll give you that. Well, half credit. No, I'm messing with you. Okay, so John's writing this. So let's understand that. Jesus gave it to him, told John to write it. You got to get this, though. I'm going to say it again. Chapter 6 through 11, that's the broad picture of these things that have happened. As we go on from chapter 12 and on, we'll start to see and be able to make some tie-ins to those events that we've already talked about in the seals and the trumpet judgments, and we'll be able to make and make some sense out of them. They'll be more detailed, in other words. Because in 6 through 11, we kind of get the sketch of the plan, and then the details come to us through the rest of 12 through 19. Okay, we got two creatures here we got to talk about, and actually they're referred to in the New King James as the beast. But he says, starting in verse 1, "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." Let's talk about this beast, this creature. Okay? We've already reviewed that there's four from chapter 12 that we looked at, but here he says he stood on the sand of the sea. Now, you might think about that being a beach and he looking out over the sea, but in reference to what that really means, he was looking over the world, the whole sea of the population, and he was looking for someone that would be his crony. You know what a crony is? Pardon? His buddy, puppet on a string, so to speak, the one that would give him, he would give the power to, but all that power had to be given back to the dragon or Satan, right? Because that's what he wanted, remember? That's what he's wanted from day one before he was kicked out of heaven. So we see here that he's looking, he saw a beast rising out. In other words, he's seen one that he felt like was the one that he needed to have. And so let's talk about that one for a moment. Now, I'm going to give you a glimpse of what we're going to be doing tonight so that you can start looking for it as we talk. If there's anything that Satan or the dragon wanted to do was to mimic the Trinity, to mimic God, to have people look to him rather than to God, and to have the same power or the power of God, which that's why he got kicked out of heaven, right? We got that. But now he's going to, in that he is kind of unhindered here on earth. He's been kicked out of heaven. He got kicked out and he was in a rage. So now he wants to accomplish some things. And that thing that he wants to accomplish is to have power. Now, if he can get something to look like godly power, like a false trinity, okay, of the dragon being God, and if he can have a Christ feature or personality that we're going to call the Antichrist, and then if he can get a false prophet set up to act as the Holy Spirit in this false thing that he's trying to create, and they all bring power to him, they worship him, they give him power, that's what the dragon's after. So in these searches for these personalities, he looked over the whole sea of the world, over all the sands, and over the whole population, and he says, sees this one rising up with 7 heads and 10 horns, on the horns 10 crowns, and on the heads of the blasphemous name. Says he was like a shepherd. Like a leopard. What's like a leopard mean to you? What's a leopard? Does a leopard have spots? Do the spots change? That's an old adage. So this guy will never change, in other words. It says feet like a bear. What's a bear mean to you? What comes to your mind when he says like a bear? He said he's not a bear, but he says like a bear. He says he saw a leopard. Spots don't change. He's what he was. And then he says, and his feet were like the feet of a bear. Digging, clawing, going after things, right? And then the mouth like the mouth of a lion. What's the mouth of a lion look like? What's it do? What? Bites? bites hard, penetrates with teeth in it. If you got somebody that's, let's say, a boss that was like a lion, what was he like? If you ever had a boss that was like a lion? What? Dominant, dog eat dog, gone after power, right? Okay, so let's get the picture that John's trying to paint, because all he's doing is trying to make associations here so that we can see what he's seeing. He says, and he was like, in other words, he's trying to describe the best that he's seen this fellow's personality. And it says, and the dragon gave him power. Now, the dragon does have power on the earth now, right? Kicked out of heaven. He does have power. And it says, and he gave him his throne. Wow. And great authority. Now, what we're going to see as we continue to read and go through this, that is exactly, he gave great authority, but that authority was to get everyone to look to the dragon, to look to him as being God. That's the whole concept that he's trying to accomplish through getting this one that we're going to label the Antichrist. Okay? Now, yes? I'm going to label him the Antichrist, and yes, he is a political leader, as we're going to see here in a moment. Well, come closer. There's another beast we're going to look at here in verse 11 when we get there. We got this one of the sea, and then we got one of the land, and we're going to get to those in a minute. But let's get back here to verse 1. Here's what Daniel, I'm just going to tell you this because it's important that we grab that, and you can write in your this the side margin, Daniel 7, verses 7 to 8. That's one of them. You could write in your column on beside this scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. You could write in the 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. You could write 1 John 2, 18. We're going to get a description of this beast that others had written. For example, Daniel 7, 7, 8 called the little horn in the sixth chapter of the Revelation, second verse. He described the man who was riding on the white horse with a bow in his hand. That's this guy. Remember? He was riding on a white horse and trying to imitate Christ on a white horse. But if you remember, he had a bow, but no arrows. So he really didn't have any power. Okay, that was already described to us. That's what Daniel makes reference to. The writings of Paul in 2 Thessalonians is referred to the man of sin or the son of perdition. We read in 1 John 2:18, and John uses the title Antichrist about this character, this beast that we're talking about. The beast out of the sea is the man of the sea. He is the little horn. He is the son of perdition. He's the rider on the white horse. He's the beast out of the sea. He is the Antichrist. So, what we have is the beginning of this false trinity, or the dragon's trinity, or sinful man's trinity. Earth people, earth dwellers, because those earth dwellers now are not Christians, are they? Christians have already been raptured home. Notice the place of the rising beast. We're told there that he will rise out of the sea. Clearly symbolic language, if I can say that loud and clear. Symbolic, he'll rise up out of the sea. What it means is he'll rise up out of the sea of men that's all over the world. He's going to be looked upon, and some of you have called our leader today possibly this title, but Not true, incidentally, because we'll have to find out later that he had to come from the Jewish people. Anyway, clearly symbolic, and the literal truth here we look at, but it's in, I understand we want to look at literal truth, but it's symbolic in nature. Looking across the sea, again, it's the population of the world. And the sand of the sea, looking at those individuals, and this is one he picks who's known and referred to in Scripture four times I gave you as the Antichrist. Let's again remember where this guy come from, or why he's coming on the scene, and why Satan wants him to come on the scene. If you have turmoil all over the world, which we do, at this particular point in the tribulation, remember the rapture has occurred and all kinds of things have happened. We don't know where things are really going to happen or going to come together. There's total chaos. Things are totally out of control. Kind of like if you look at the Middle East right now, it's just a minute part of what we're going to see worldwide. Now, if you can get a good leader, when I say a good leader, one of the attributes of a good leader is a good speaker, a person who can make sense, draw people to look at their ideologies, people that are good at making and describing things very well, and drawing people to look at this situation. That's the kind of guy he is. That's the kind of guy that this Antichrist guy is, and he becomes the political guy that works for Satan. He's the crony I talked about. He's the guy that will point everything to the dragon. You worship him, you look to him, and yet this is a guy, the Antichrist, that has the drawing. He's got that communication ability to draw people. And to make some conclusions that make sense, for example, he may solve the Palestine, or the Arab and Israel problem. He might solve some of those problems in the world that's here, that's worshiping the dragon now. Okay, they are. They're not worshiping Christ, because those that worship Christ are in heaven. So the people are here are worshiping the dragon. If they want to eat, if they want medical attention, if they want anything, as we're going to have to read here in verse chapter 14 when we get there, they'll take the number, whatever, to have things, to sustain life. This guy, the Antichrist, is going to, he's going to stir up people to follow him. And he will have some success. And the only reason he'll have some success is because God is allowing it to happen. He couldn't have any success. It's only what God is giving. Why is God giving it? Because God is allowing this world to be judged because they have blasphemed him. And that's what the judgments are all about. God is a loving God. He wants people to certainly come to him. But we're going to read about that again here in a moment. I've told you on several occasions, I guess, that if you're going to be saved during the tribulation period, it's going to cost you your life. And we're going to read that here in a moment. Now, I want to get back to Scripture, and then we'll move forward again. In verse 4, it says, "So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast." In other words, that's what he wanted. "And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" So he's picked this political leader, the Antichrist, who is offering solutions. And now, who is able to make war with him? How can you have difficulty with him? How can you put him down because of what he is doing? And it says in verse 5, "And he was given a month speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. 42 months, my friends, is 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation period. It says then, listen to this one, in verse 6, Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. In other words, he is blaspheming God and God's people everywhere, wherever they are. But now, let's go to verse 7. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Let's stop right there. He was given power to what? He was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Don't get too far ahead of me in your thinking. The saints that we're talking about certainly isn't you and I that's already been raptured to heaven. But it's those ones here on this earth that have not proclaimed them to be of Satan, but those that were saved out of the tribulation. Remember back in chapter 7, it talked about the sea that was around the throne of God, how that was a thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and the question was asked by one of the elders saying, "Who are these?" And the answer came back, "Don't you know who they are? These are the ones that came out of the great tribulation." What I've also said to you, that anyone that's going to be saved out of the great tribulation, they're going to have to give their lives. Here's that word. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. What's overcome mean? Taken. Now, certainly they got to heaven because they didn't take the mark of the beast. They wouldn't follow the beast. They made their stand for the Lord, but now, because they did, okay, the Antichrist was given power to overcome them, and the authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All, he says, who dwell upon the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Boy, verse 9 comes back to give you a scripture that we heard said to each of the seven churches. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. In other words, that's the message that you and I have to take to this world today that says, well, I'm just going to wait because there's going to be some that's going to be saved in the tribulation period. Well, listen to what it's saying. You will be under the control of Satan and be overcome by the Antichrist and actually end up giving your life because you didn't. He says, all who dwell upon the earth will worship the dragon, whose names have not been written in the book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. Then he says, he who leads into captivity shall not go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, they had to keep that faith. And yes, they was going to have to give their life. But they was going to heaven. And that's the group that we've seen back in chapter 7 around the throne. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them that was saved during the tribulation period. Here we see the picture of it, but they gave their life to do so. And it would be a horrible death. Whether it be, sometimes we want to think about, well, they'll just come up and with a gun and boom, and you're done. What about no food? What about starvation? What about bacterial infections and you can't get antibiotics? What about? Because everything now is controlled by the dragon, Satan. So, today, I got to make another point. This Antichrist will rise up out of the sea of many. It'll be the pick of the dragon. He will be. Yes, he'll solve some of the problems. But he'll also, this morning I made reference to this 7-year treaty that he made with Israel. At the midst of this, which is at this 3.5-year period, midst right here in the midst of the tribulation, he's now going to void that treaty, and he will take all-out war against Israel. So, let's think about what's really happening, because I want to get you in tune with what's kind of happening today. Do you recognize right now that we're probably, with all of the different trade agreements, with the currency problems that are going on, gee whiz, I don't know how far I want to go with this. I don't want to get too far off board, but because we're going to come back and get it in chapter 18. But there's things today that are occurring. If you'll watch the news, if you'll just not have your head in the sand whenever you're watching the evening news, but watch some of these occurrences that are going on. Free trade agreements, for example, have really upset the apple cart of various economies, including this country. We're seeing right now, if you haven't got a handle on it, we're seeing different monetary currencies that are the euro, for example. There's a fight for that to be the or a different currency, if it's not the euro, to be used as a standard for purchasing oil. For years upon years, it's been the dollar that's been the currency that's been used to buy and sell oil across the world. Now what you have, and just recently this occurred, if you was listening to the news, you found that there are other countries in what we're going to be talking about, this revised Roman Empire. There's some of those countries, as well as some of the Arab countries, that are wanting to trade in other currencies now other than the dollar. What's that do? That just causes more chaos, because now we got some that's buying on the dollar currency, and we got some that's buying on something else, and somebody on something else, and there's no real good standard. That creates more and more chaos, and that's going to continue to occur. Rapidly, it's moving us toward what will eventually occur, it looks like, is one world government that will be controlled by one political figure who is the Antichrist, who will point all progress, all power, all prestige, I guess is a good word, to the dragon, who is Satan. That's coming. That's coming quickly. It's happening in our world system, and the more we understand, the more we see, you know, wow, it gets to be, and we're going to have more and more of these discussions about, especially whenever we get into 17, 18 chapters, I mean, probably 16, 17, 18. When we get into those, there's going to be all kinds of things we're going to be able to relate to you, but we're working right toward exactly what Christ has talked about, one world government, and also a world false religion is coming. But you and I are out of here. We can praise God for that. And we're up there. I don't know. I think we're going to know what's going on. But we just want to see Satan put down. You know, if you think about it, if I'm up there with Jesus in heaven, even if I just know about what's going on, if I may not see it, but if I just know that's what's going on, and I can know that because of the Scriptures telling me this, I'm going to be saying, get them, Lord. Get them. Get them. They blaspheme you. They blaspheme you, and I love you, Lord. I want revenge. Is that very Christian? I don't know if you can answer that way, but you can answer it, I love my Lord. And I love Him so much, I will not tolerate in my heart what's going on of those people down there blaspheming Him, and they are worshiping the dragon or Satan. That just, it grinds me whenever I read this. I don't know about you. Just because I love my Lord so much, I don't want to see Him put down. I don't want to see Him blasphemed. And I think that's the view that we would have in heaven, is we don't want to see our Lord ever, ever put down because He is so good and so great. Do a lot of that only because God allows it. Now, it says here in the scripture, I want to go back and revisit this just a little bit so we can move on. It says here that in the scriptures about the seven heads, 10 horns, upon His horns are 10 crowns. We know that if we was to go out in Revelation chapter 17, if we was looking to verse 9, that the seven heads are the seven mountains, and the seven mountains happen to be in Rome. It's referenced to the city of Rome. And the 10 horns, we are told chapter 17, verse 12, are the 10 kings who are political rulers, of course, rulers over the nations. It seems to be a prediction of the revived Roman Empire. Now, I can't take you into a study of all of the different ages tonight, but what I can tell you is that the Roman Empire, there was the various different empires that occurred throughout biblical history, but I can tell you that the Roman Empire never was really one that was destroyed. It just kind of went away. And now we're looking, I think, to something that's being revived, and we can prove this, I believe, in Daniel. But I can't go there to keep this going. The 10 horns, we're told in 1712, were the 10 kings, the political rulers of the nations, revived Roman Empire. And the Antichrist is going to rule over that. He's going to take control of world powers that are there. You say, well, what happens? Where's the West? Where's the United States in this thing? I think we can see that right now. Whenever you got a almost $18 trillion debt and 40 cents on every dollar that's being spent by your federal government is on borrowed funds, how long is the United States of America going to be able to exist? We get our heads out of the sand, we wonder what happens and where is the United States in world history. I'm not saying that we as Christians are going to be shunned. We're still going to heaven, but I'm just saying, where's the United States of America? We have allowed one of these world powers to take us down a disastrous path that I don't know if you know how in the world we can ever get out of this thing whenever every human being born in this country owes almost a $60,000 debt whenever they're born. How in the world are we ever, ever going to get out of debt in this country? How are we ever going to be free? Because debt takes away freedom. Debt puts us in bondage. Who are we in bondage to? Whoever we borrow the money from. Who are we borrowing money from? The big one's China. We are in bondage right now. And it's moving more and more toward this. Why in the world, I kept asking, Lord, the last 13 weeks or whatever I had, whenever God laid this upon me, God, why are you wanting me to go through Revelation? It's because somebody has to scream this from the highest rooftops, wake up, Christians, the time is close. And you say, well, that's okay, I'm gone. What about those ones that ought to go that you need to tell? That we're not telling, and how rapidly we ought to be doing all we can to reach them. I think the European Union that we're seeing probably is an answer to this revived Roman Empire, and I understand that keeps changing all the time, but to some extent it changes. But they have the same problems as the United States has. They have financial difficulties. We know Greece does. We know France does. We know England does. And every one of these countries, whether it be them or be us, they're being invaded by the terrorist Muslims, little pockets all over the world that are being developed. And I look at those, my friends, as Satan's tools, little pockets that are being developed. And look, I'm not trying to scare anybody by saying this, but that's reality. They're all over the place. We've seen the massacre that happened at the Boston Marathon. That was just one little pocket, two little kids that said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to take out a bunch of people. They're Christians, and I want to take them out. They're in this United States of America that they hate. I just want to take out people. They're like that. Is it going to get worse? You bet. And we got to wake up and know where we are, and that there's many that needs to be brought under and get to the Lord and not be left here under satanic power. Is the Antichrist going to be a real person? Absolutely. Absolutely. He's going to be a representative person. Representative, I mean that he will be able to appeal to the multitudes. He'll be able to talk the sweet language that pleases everyone, but yet we know it won't. I don't know. I guess I think about the characteristics that John talked about, like the leopard. His spots won't change. He's going to stay dedicated to the dragon, the Antichrist. He's been put in power by the dragon. His spots aren't going to change. He's like a leopard. His claws are going to be like the bear, and his mouth is going to be like a lion, and not necessarily one that's biting, but biting with words. It doesn't have to be a physical bite. It has to be a bite with words that just has teeth in something that's said or done. Jeremiah 13:23 says that a leopard doesn't change its spots, and how you and I both know that to be true. I'm going to have to stop. Before I get into the, I talk too much, my brother. I needed to, there's so much to be said. I think so much that we need to be warned of. And I'm hoping that I can get more time in 17 and 18 to really look at the economic disaster that's coming our way. World economic disaster. And you hope that this guy will, I guess people that are left here are going to be hoping that this guy will pull them out of it. But we know in the end what will happen.